Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who cannot believe what we just saw on Big Brother tonight. I am Rob Sestrino. Oh my God. We thought there wasn't anything left to see here at the Final Four. And this was one of the wildest nights in Big Brother history. Got a great panel here to talk about it with you here tonight. Welcoming back a man who broke it all down last night after the know-it-alls. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I wish I could say I was doing very great, but that episode was very off-putting in some ways. But I'm very happy to be here. I'm always happy to be backpacked by you, grocery bagged by you, any kind of that sort of thing. So I appreciate
Thank you for not using the C word.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's bring in the rest of our panel back with us tonight. Very excited to have with us Sasha Joseph is here. Sasha, how are you?
I like can't stop laughing, and I want people to know I only laugh when I'm nervous because I think I forgot my own name after that. Rob, you said my name, and I was like, right, my name is Sasha.
Let me get another shot. Okay. Very excited tonight to bring in the host of our Love and Hip Hop Atlanta Rehap Up. It's Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
See, my brand is mess.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, all, you know, the stars have aligned because they were like, you cover love and hip hop. You're covering, you know, moms.
It was
crying.
Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny.
Yelling at people. So obviously now we're going to bring that to Big Brother now that you're covering it. You're welcome, everyone. It's me. I did it.
And we're very excited to have here on birthday week. It is the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I, too, laugh when I am uncomfortable, and I honestly thought that the thing that Kylan would do that made me the most uncomfortable was when I watched him sniff a line of floss last night, and then he came out tonight and said, hold my tortilla, I got more for you, and I am still not recovered from it. I just can't.
Hold my tortilla, indeed, because this was so rough. Never before in the history of the show have we had to have I don't know if they have security standing by because that Kylan showed his whole ass tonight, and Xavier. Xavier almost had to murder him on the spot, and it would have been deserved. Like, the no jury would have convicted him. That they would have said, no, this was
they would have asked Claire and Tiffany and everyone. They would have been like, nah, you're good.
Yeah.
Innocent CSI Vegas would have had to come in and just like rope off the whole area because it was so close. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Taryn, what did we just see tonight?
I mean, this is unfortunately, I mean, I never thought Kylan would go as far as to say these things to Xavier's face. But it shouldn't be that surprising considering the things that he has been saying to the cameras. He has mentioned specifically Xavier's nephew and how he feels like Xavier, if he evicted Kylan, would not be raising him right or setting the right example for his nephew. Which is so uncalled for to say to the cameras in a moment of frustration. It's unbelievably uncalled for to say to Xavier, to his face. I mean, the man is literally grieving. He just lost his brother so recently, and all he wants to do is like provide for his nephew. And for him to call it out like that, it was just such a low blow. And then he doubles down on it, of course. And he goes out with a smile on his face. Like, I didn't even just do anything wrong. And, like it was honestly like just really gross. And I don't even, like feel like, good talking about it. It makes me so
embarrassing. So embarrassing.
On live television too, like when he knows that that is going to like I'm assuming in the moment, Kylan's not like having the conscious thought of like, this is going to be on TV, but like that is a moment that is absolutely on TV. Like there's no, you know, hoping that that doesn't make the edit. Like you went there.
Oh, he knew that was going to be on TV.
I agree.
That was premeditated. Okay,
Have you seen his Twitter? He literally, this is his brand. Like he does not give like two Fs about any of this. This is so ratchet. Like you can be a bad, you know, like you can be mad. I'm fine. I think I love them, you know, going like head to head, being like, oh, this is, you know, the game, blah, blah, blah. Why did you have to bring in a child? Who are you? Like, what did you think that, you know, you would accomplish by this? Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah. I was just so embarrassed for Kylan through the television. I just have to just like hide my face that it's just so embarrassing. This the whole thing. Just,
I'm so impressed that you prepared for this.
I couldn't even watch. I had to cover my eyes. Just, it was unbearable.
Are they so free, Rob? Are you good?
How do they smell?
Yeah, I mean, weird. Yeasty. It's not like pleasant. Oh. Yeah, it's like a tortilla. It's not great. Not great.
Doesn't smell like victory. Definitely not.
Really? I was concerned that Kylan was going to get his lights knocked out.
And everyone would have been like, that's justified.
Yeah. Yeah. Julie was like, get out of the house right now.
Julie was like, COVID be damned. I'm going in. I need to drag this man out. Because when he started going back to get his cup, because I rewatched the clip. So when he went back to grab his cup, Julie actually started going like louder and louder. She's like, Kylan, you need to come back. Kylan. So I think she thought he was going back to like swing on him or something.
Julie's with a bang on the door, like, you better get out here.
Don't call her Chenbot anymore. Look, that was a lot of emotion we got from her, man.
Yeah. The days of Chenbot are over.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was wild. Like getting like them getting closer, like I was so uncomfortable and I didn't know what was happening, but like X had every, like, X handled himself perfectly. You know, he stayed calm and he said, you better stop talking about, like, my nephew. Like, you should really just stop talking. And I couldn't speak. I was paralyzed with just, like, shock that this was actually happening. And, like, just watching, like, Azza and Derek, like they had no idea what to do either. They're like, this is a very intense moment. Like I'm still obviously shook by this. I can't believe that this happened on TV. Like,
yeah, I know. We're just stunned. We're stunned to talk about this, that it happened, but I guess let's talk about the rest of the episode because
how do we go back?
Let's talk through act of what happened. Taryn, were there any sort of like surprises today? I thought the plan was they were going to tell Kylan.
That was the plan, but what I said was I don't expect it to actually happen because this is X we're talking about. So the plan was that they were going to tell him like during the live show, and then it became, okay, no, we're going to tell him in the break between when we don't use the veto and when you vote him out. But obviously there is no break between there. And so conveniently, oh, we just never ended up telling him.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
I can't stop laughing. Like, I don't think people understand, I mean, like, what the hell just happened?
The thing is, like, for me, it was like, it was entertaining at first. Like, when Big D stands up there, he gives most of the speech that he was going to. He didn't include many of the barbs that he intended on for Kylan. He didn't include the, I'm sorry, Ozza, but I'm evicting Kylan. But he did say, I'm evicting you, Kylan. And Kylan gives him a look. Kylan gives him the, you really just did that, Big D? Briefly. And then he goes straight to Xavier, like, this is what happened. And then he starts talking to Xavier. And for me at first, it was like, oh boy, oh, here we go. He's upset he got played. This is a game. They're going at it. And then of course he brings up the nephew, and it just got so mm-hmm. much darker. But I mean, that look was like, that was prime time.
Right. They go back and forth. Kylan looks to Xavier and is like, any reason? And Xavier says, the game. And he's like, well, what about the game? Like he's interviewing him. And he's like, well, you'll find out. He's like, I just, no notice, nothing. You don't tell me anything. He's like, just how the game goes. Xavier told him. He said, I respect you too much as a player. You would have been able to flip Big D. And then he goes into the nephew, and Xavier says, wait, Xavier's like confused. Like, wait, are you talking about my nephew right now? He's like, yeah, I just, you know, what, doesn't he need a role model to look up to? It's like,
because he said Kobe, because,
yes.
So for a second I was like, is he saying like, oh, we were supposed to be like Shaq and Kobe, like we were supposed to do mm-hmm. this to
famous like, best friends.
And I was like, even that is like a little out of line because like Kobe died. Mm-hmm. And so, but then I was like, oh, no way. He's talking about X's nephew. And I'm like, this is not okay. This like, we could have gotten such a good standoff without it going there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, the look in it, like, because I didn't know going into it if they had told him. I was waiting. I was trying to read the body language. I was trying to. His eyes looked glossy, but they always kind of look glossy. Right. And then when that moment happened, and he's like, any reason? I was like, oh, he did not know. Let's go.
But
like,
correct me if I'm wrong. But then he did channel Kobe Bryant, where that he said, because that he says, you know how Kobe was, Kobe never stepped down from a challenge. And so he actually did bring Kobe Bryant into this.
But then he's like, well, oh, he's named after him. And then I was like, oh no, okay, we're going there.
Mm-hmm. But Kobe won a lot. Like, what have you won? Like, you did not win Big Brother. Okay. You looked like a loser on live TV. So he should not be saying anything about Kobe. Like, stop it.
Not for anything. Kobe Bryant, famously, the Black Mamba, correct? That he would like do anything to win. That was that's Kobe Bryant's legacy. He would stop at nothing, famously, to win.
Yeah.
He was not about, well, I want to like make sure like the best competition plays against me to get to the finals. No.
And why? Why do people want this? Like, I don't understand that. Like, why do you want to sit against the best? You sit against someone you can beat so you win. That's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like, at this point, it's like they got to the end. The cookout got to the end. Final six. They got there together. They accomplished the mission. I still cannot get over Kylan's obsession with ranking people on who contributed to the cookout the most, and those people getting to be the people that sit in the final two chairs. Like whether that, you know, whether he was wrong about who he evaluated to be those people that contributed most to the cookout itself. It's like everyone played a part. Everyone had a person in this alliance that they had to let go to further the mission of the game as opposed to their individual game. Like, why is this about like, okay, well, now I'm going to sit next to the person that I perceive also did the most to like advance the game. Like, I just will never understand that rationale.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's, I think that, again, this was surprising to see. I think even for people that knew Kylan from the feeds, I can't imagine how surprised the casual audience is, who for most of the season got like mild mannered Kylan in the episodes. And it was only like in the last episode that they were like, oh, he sniffs tortillas. Wait, what's going on? Like, it was a quick change for them, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. If that many people even watched the 10 o'clock episode after Survivor, you know,
they were lucky it was after Survivor. Otherwise, Kylan probably would have missed it, too.
I did miss it. Yeah. And I'm glad I did.
Well, let's talk about... Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, after last night's episode, I was, like, concerned about what I would be recapping tonight. And, you know, like, uncomfortable, out-of-line stuff, even aside, we got a lot this episode. Like, getting the jury stuff, like, it was still, like, a really good... I hate the end game, especially this season. It's been dragging so much. But I do feel like this was a great episode, all in all.
Okay. Let's talk about Kylan sits down with Julie Chen Moonves. And again, I mean, Kylan wore a big smile through this. I think we've talked about it over the course of the season that I think he can put on that fake smile to go through things. And Taryn, what'd you think about Kylan's chat with Julie?
I mean, he was everything that Kylan tends to be. I mean, he talked about how she asked him about the Gentleman's Alliance. He said, yeah, well, I thought that we were both gentlemen. And after what he just did, he is genuinely telling us that Xavier is the one that's not a gentleman, and he is. She says, well, we're going to see you again on finale night. You're heading to the jury. And he's like,
oh, here, I've got a clip for you. Okay.
Please. I need to experience that again.
Here is Kylan with the eighth member of the jury. We'll see you next week.
We will see you back here Wednesday night when you and the entire jury of nine vote for a winner, Big Brother, Kylan.
Oh, I hope that's not my only time back. I really love the game, and I think that one thing I found out this year is that I was pretty decent at it, so I'd love to come back.
Expect the unexpected. Stay right there in the meantime.
Listen, guys, all tonight, you guys have been complaining. You guys have been criticizing Kylan, but you know what? You know what you guys just don't understand?
That is not how long-term thinking works.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not how long-term thinking works. That is what he told Sarah Beth on day 57, I think, that I went back to get that clip today.
like, why do you know the day?
It took me a while. It took me a couple guesses. Yeah. That's what he told Sarah Beth about why he was planning to take Xavier to the end. That she doesn't understand how long-term thinking works because he is going to come back and play again. And he is going to make so much more money being himself and proving how honorable he is. And we just saw the result of his long-term thinking.
Hmm.
Yeah, Kylan's out here playing big dummy, not Big Brother. That's the problem.
Taryn, did Big D win back any points with you after being able to successfully execute on this blind side? Did this make up for Brent?
Look, Rob, it doesn't clean the slate. All right. Big D, you're dead to me once. I can't revive you. Like, you're already dead, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a step in the right direction. All right. You know, maybe he's come back as a zombie temporarily. Maybe someday we'll find a cure for zombieism. You know, he is still dead to me.
Yeah. I clipped something else from the Kylan interview with Julie Chen Moonves on the subject of lying and what lies do you need to tell in this game versus lies you don't need to tell in the game.
Mostly for me, it kind of came down to how I wanted to play the game. I mean, I think that...
Which is how?
Which is more upfront and like kind of... which I understand is Big Brother and you can do all these things, but I feel like there's not always a need to do it if you don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, Kylan, I mean, that was him basically in a nutshell, that never told any lies that he didn't have to.
It needs to be stitched with the like quotes from Sarah Beth in this very episode. Yes. Where she is criticizing him for telling unnecessary lies, like, and hurting feelings when it didn't need to be happening, and how X in comparison didn't do that. Like, what? Mm-hmm. The juxtaposition was just perfect. Like, that was not, that did not need to be scripted. They didn't know that Kylan was going to say that. It was just perfect.
A quote from Kylan to the cameras just days ago. I mean, am I just too nice for this game?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So nice.
There you have it.
Yeah. And then they asked Kylan, Julie Chen Movements asked Kylan, would you like to see your goodbye messages? Oh, yes, I would. Please, let's do it. And we got the goodbye messages. And I thought that this was kind of shady coming from Xavier in the goodbye messages to Kylan. He said,
I truly do think you're one of the best players who played this season.
One of the best players that played this season. What's it, like top five?
We needed more of a pause.
Yeah.
One of the best players this
certainly
season.
Yeah. Certainly top 10.
I mean, honestly, I think he's probably saying you're number two next to me. I think that's what he meant. We'll see.
Okay. All right.
I can't believe Kylan asked Julie for a coupon for the next season. Like, I can't. Like,
yeah, I played in this game for 70 some odd days, and then I distinctly said I wanted to come back, and I did not get my card punched to get a return trip back.
I mean, here's what happened, right? Kylan was the whole season envisioning finale night. I come out to confetti. Julie comes up to congratulate me. I go, and she goes, and that's it. We'll see you guys next summer. And he goes, well, hopefully you'll be seeing me next summer, Julie, because I really love this game. And turns out I'm pretty good at it. Look at that. And then Julie goes, oh, we would love to have you back, winner Kylan, who just beat Xavier in a 7-0 vote. You're so amazing.
Yeah.
But instead, he found himself on a stage, blindsided, betrayed by Xavier, and heading to the jury roundtable. And he was like, oh, but I got to get my thing in about how I'm going to come back. It turns out I'm pretty good at it as I'm sitting here in this chair. It just, yeah, didn't quite play the same way I think he thought it would.
Well, according to Derek F, like, living in proximity to the studio means that you get invited back. So perhaps that he gave that to Kylan as a consolation, where he's like, just ask Julie, be like, I live close by. Just give me a call. I'll come by.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happens on the challenge, but you know, TJ is usually like, we can't wait to see you back. So I just personally believe Kylan has this entitled, you know, aura around him, and he just brings that with him. Again, we've seen it on Twitter, we've seen it in the game. And to him, I think this is second nature. And all these people kind of gassing him up, especially Xavier, who was like, you're the best to ever play. Not, you know, whatever, this season, I don't care. But still, it all feeds into this, like, this is the Survivor monster, right? Like, it feeds into that monster. And, like, it just keeps
devoured
going.
Devoured Kylan?
Yes. No, the Kylan might devour. Like, we literally saw he almost, like, ended the season with a punch. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely turned into a monster tonight, so.
There you go, Jeff Probst. You got one.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our jury segment tonight, because we got to see Tiffany arrive at the jury house, and finally confirmation of the cookout to the rest of the group. Sasha, you know that it was injustice of the season that Tiffany, who had the master plan, she goes out at the final six, but I did feel like that, you know, she was able to come, and we wondered all season long, who's going to be the person to tell them about the cookout? In in a weird way, like she was the right person to be able to tell them about the cookout. And the way that she told to everybody, she's like, and Claire, like, I never wanted you to go. And Alyssa X never wanted you to go. And Derek Chata never wanted you to go. And Sarah Beth Kylan never wanted you to go. And we did it. And it was just like really beautiful the way she told the story. And she told the story to the jury in a way that I thought really helped end up taking away any of the sting that potentially might have come with finding out about the cookout.
Yeah, I very much agree. Especially, I mean, it almost, you know, was like the knife got twisted a little bit more for me, where it was like, yeah, she's actually the right person to tell this story because she's the mastermind. It was her plan. You know, it makes the most sense. Imagine DF, like, you know, giving this story. It would have been a mess. So it unfortunately... Oh my God. No, he would have never gotten to the point, right? He would have talked for like 20 years. So like literally their handler would have had to be like, we need to finish wrapping this up. So it hurts me actually more that this did work in, you know, the cookout's favor, because Tiffany didn't deserve, like, I wanted Tiffany to tell that story, but sitting in the final two chairs.
Yeah, I think what's cool about this segment, because I really liked it, is that Tiffany's not only telling the jury the story of the cookout, but she's really also telling the audience the story of the cookout, because it was never really told all that well throughout the season. And she tells it in a really good way, like a really concise way. It's compelling. When people remember the season and they remember the cookout, I think they're probably going to remember this moment, this succinct way of describing what it was, how it formed, what its mission was, why it meant so much to the people in it, what they sacrificed, how it operated, and who made it work. And that's, I think, the credit that Tiffany has deserved all season long. I hope this is what people come away from, come away with when they think about the season, when they think about Tiffany and the cookout, because, she is the perfect person to have described it. She was so gracious about the other members' contributions and, who did what and who was, you know, concerned about what throughout the cookout. And she didn't emphasize her own importance in it. She genuinely did come up with the strategy. I really hope that, again, like if this is the, how we remember the cookout and the season, I think that's a very good thing.
I felt like her explanation of it was just like a perfect example of her social game and the way that she is able to like explain herself, explain the strategy, but also do it so sincerely and not seem like she was just like, you know, talking herself up, being egotistical. She was acknowledging everyone's place in it. She took time to point to every single person on the jury and acknowledge their importance to somebody in the game and made everyone feel like, you know, what happened to them, it was like appreciated and understood and not taken lightly. And I just felt like, you know, she even acknowledged that she was trying to not like, you know, break up into tears herself, thinking about all the tears they had shed over the season. Like, I just felt like this encapsulated how Tiffany was so good at this game, in her explanation of how this all worked and, you know, what part of the plan she came up with. And like you guys are saying, it hurts to not see it in the final two scenario. And I do worry that, like, 'cause I would love to see Tiffany come back, but I just like, she's incredible. Like, she comes back with such a target on her back after all of this. But I'm still so glad that we got this moment on the show. It was incredible.
On a related note, we also found out about a change to America's Favorite Player, not $25,000, $50,000. And I have to feel like, Sasha, this is this segment is probably very good for Tiffany's America's Favorite Player campaign.
Yeah, 100%. I personally think she should win. Not only that, I also think that she's worked so hard and, you know, she brought the cookout to the six. An African-American, you know, is going to win the season. But also, let's not forget how much work the women have put into this, and the men have gotten here on the backs of these women. And, you know, even Azza, like, Azza gets a lot of flack, but let's understand that she won that double to make sure the men got farther. So they've literally stepped on these women to get there. So, like, if Tiffany doesn't win, like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. And I'm a DX stan, but still, I really want to know, like, how hard she has worked and everything she's sacrificed. Like, on her HOH, she put Claire out. Like, just that should win her everything. And production did her so dirty. Oh, I'm not going to forget that either. I'm not.
Yeah, I think this segment is good for her chances. I also think that the other thing they revealed, which is that they are doing text votes again, apparently. I think that's also a good thing for Tiffany. I mean, it's a good thing for anybody that's not named Derek X, because you have to imagine that some of those DX votes are going to be siphoned away by Big D. And if Derek X and Derek F split the vote even just a little bit, that opens the door for the next person to come in. And I have to imagine that Tiffany is that next person at this point in the season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we literally saw the entire jury, like, bowing to her, being like, you are incredible. Like, I am so, you know, proud to be bested by you. I don't know what other endorsement you need when you're watching, maybe if Tiffany wasn't your fave, you're watching your fave, like, bow down to her and be like, you are incredible. I can't believe we're talking about text voting in 2021 still. But again, like, I do hope, if anything, it does work out for her, because like Sasha, I am also a DX stan, but I just think that she is the most deserving of this. And I also, like I was just saying about Tiffany worrying about a situation where she comes back, I think that DX could come back and actually have a decent chance. Mm-hmm. So maybe he doesn't need this, you know, America's favorite player money as much as Tiffany does. So
yeah, Derek X is going to do great in life. He's a young man. He's going to have a million opportunities. Come on, give it to Tiffany. Come on.
I agree. Official endorsement.
Official endorsement.
That's the best endorsement. Come honestly on. It's short and sweet.
Come on. Derek X would tell you to vote for Tiffany.
Yeah.
If he was here, he would say, yeah, don't vote for me. Vote for Tiffany.
It's true. He probably would.
If Derek X is willing to give $5,000 to Sarah Beth, he's definitely willing.
Right?
We didn't talk about Chada showing up at the jury house, and definitely it was, you know, a little bit of a bummer to get to see the way things played out and how upset she was to have been, you know, turned on by Azza in particular. Sarah Beth had some really harsh words for Azza. Taryn, what'd you think about Hannah's arrival?
This was fun too. You know, they were all clearly disappointed that she arrived. And I think that was genuine. She was like, it's okay. It's okay. Cause it's not okay. Yeah. She brought that information about Azza, which I knew was going to be bad for Azza. You know, when we think about potential final three scenarios, obviously if Azza wins the final three HOH, she currently plans to take Big D to the final two. And, you know, hearing Sarah Beth say, I'm very disappointed in Azza, them kind of being like, what is she thinking? You know, it did kind of like, okay, this is the opening that Big D needs. I don't think that Big D still has much of a chance to beat Azza, especially if she's the one to win that HOH and cut Xavier to bring him. But it was worth noting here, especially that Hannah herself is still rooting for Azza. And Hannah has always looked at Big D's game as a joke. So, you know, I don't think there's too much that's going to happen there, but, I mean, what a jury.
Mm-hmm. Such a great jury. Yeah. I, as much as I love mess and I love drama and I love seeing the jury fighting, I really love seeing this jury get along, be on the same page. Like, every jury segment has been a breath of fresh air. Seeing them all give Tiffany like and Hannah both the credit they deserve was just so, it made me feel so good before the ending of this episode made me feel terrible. But I was so appreciative of seeing this. And you know, I will take this kind of jury every once in a while when I like everyone so much. Seeing Brittany tear up over Azza getting her win, like these people genuinely care about each other. And I mean, aside from like, you know, some of the fighting we've been seeing in this final four over the last week or so, and obviously the culmination of that tonight between X and Kai, I really do think that this is like a cast that is going to be friends after this.
Yeah. Do you think that they are going to rent the Airbnb after the season that Christian Birkenberger has been looking for on Instagram?
He's trying. Do you think he made any progress last night? Wasn't he at a Survivor?
Yes, yes. That Amon got, Amon found him on the RJP Instagram last night. Taryn, do you know, have the people in the house talked at all about wanting to get an Airbnb immediately after the season for all 16 house guests?
For all 16, no.
I think it's going to be awkward with X and Kylan after tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awkward with Kylan and a lot of people. I mean, Hannah is really not a fan of him right now. Sarah Beth certainly isn't. I mean, Kylan literally sent Sarah Beth to the jury with explicit instructions on how to campaign for him in the jury. And we just saw her explicitly campaigning against him in the jury. That relationship has not gone the way that he has wanted. And quite frankly, good for Sarah Beth here, and lucky for her. I'm glad for her that she is not going to have to live with Kylan again, because he's not going to be going to jury. He's going to be meeting them at the jury roundtable.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she's going to be happy about that as well.
Mm-hmm. And not time to manipulate her to, like, you know, make her feel that her perception of what went down was actually wrong, and that he, mm-hmm. you know, didn't do any of these things. Because, like, that, all you need is a little time when you have that kind of, you know, ability or intention to kind of twist things back so that you're the good guy. So.
Mm-hmm.
Me thinking about my exes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, me. Well, like, I don't have baggage. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Maybe with the Airbnb though, like maybe like Christian and Kylan can switch spots, and like they'll have like pre-jury house, and then they'll have like a jury house, and I think that would just solve everyone's problems.
But Christian and Alyssa can't stay apart, so.
Exactly, because Christian and Kylan switch.
Oh, Christian in that way, sorry.
Kylan can go hang out with Frenchie and Brent.
How DF will not allow these things.
It's a showman's, apparently.
Okay, let's talk about Derek F, because he really had like the first like 20-25 minutes of the episode almost all to himself, of all about, as Taryn outlined on the live feed update the first couple days of this week, a fight between him and Azza, where maybe, hold on a minute, hold the phone, could Derek F actually consider voting out his friend Azza, even though Xavier wants him to vote out Kylan? And boy, this, Taryn, this went on and on and on.
It did. I mean, let me tell you, went on and on and on the feeds too. They didn't even capture all of it here on the show. It went on forever. I mean, the reason Azza, the start of the segment is Azza asking X, you know, do have I contributed? And that she asked that question because Big D was like, talking about her when she was in the room, like, do you see what I deal with, Xavier, when it comes to this woman? And it went on and on forever. Her trying to explain to Big D that when he makes comments like that unprovoked, it's rude. It makes her feel bad. And he was like, what, you want me to lie to you then? Is that what you want? And she was like, no, I just don't want you to make me feel bad all the time. That would be nice. And really, I feel like they were very kind to Big D in the portrayal of how this all went down. I feel like hopefully it still came across like what a joke the whole thing was. But they really could have gone much harder on him in how he treated Azza and how like fully wrong he is. Like they're showing him saying the things, but they're not like explicitly telling us and showing us like he is, by the way, nowhere near the truth when he thinks that he carried Azza. It is what it is.
I mean, I was just glad that they were finally, you know, painting him in a light that you could infer that he's in the wrong. I totally agree that they had endless footage that they could have, you know, shown and maybe made it a little bit more apparent how terrible he is, especially towards Azza, and how he's been and what he said about the women in the house this entire season. But I appreciated that. And maybe I was watching it through the lens of having this opinion already and knowing how bad it's been. But I was kind of relieved that they're like, okay, they're dragging him finally, after just kind of painting him as, like, you know, someone that people are going to give their votes to, whether they're trying to give them to him or Derek X. But at least they gave us something to be like, hey, what the hell is this?
It really is a shame we're not going to get to see Derek F evicted from the game, because we could see, like, his delusional tirade on his way out the door.
Yeah, I mean, this is a perfect encapsulation of who Big D is. Like, any argument he's had across the entire season, he has never once wavered from his own belief in the argument. He never changes his mind on things like that. Like, you'll argue with him and he'll be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't even think about it that way. Like he'll apologize to your face, then he'll roll his eyes to the cameras, and then he'll be like, what an idiot. I can't believe they're even arguing with me over this. I'm so obviously right. That's where we get, like,
I definitely backpacked Azza this season. I definitely suitcased Azza this season. Grocery bagged Azza this season.
Yeah. Like Kylan before him, just doubles down, triples down, quadruples down. The problem here is the word carry. She's so triggered by the word carry. I guess I have to use a different word. Oh, geez. As though that's anywhere near the actual problem. Or that he actually did carry or grocery bag or suitcase or backpack Azza in any way. This man is not CT.
Also, since when is Big D, like, concerned about the rhetoric, or, like, you know, being a thesaurus in the DR? He's like, oh, let me get the words correctly here. I'm sorry, I must have misspoken. Mm-hmm. I will give you every synonym I know for this expression here.
The same suddenly, guy who sadly votes and
hey,
happily
he got
votes.
It done, though.
He
I
nailed
will give
it
him
tonight.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also, here's what really irritates me about Derek F, is that he has been carried by everyone, literally carried by everyone. There's not one person, from Frenchie all the way to Xavier. You have been carried since day one. What have you won? That's what I want to know, right? Like, have you won anyone's heart? Have you won a competition? You haven't done anything. And then to have the gall, you know, with this whole chest to say this to Azza, who could have taken you out, who could, you know, just won an HOH. And all you have done to be, quote unquote, in power is that Xavier didn't use the POV that he won to put you there, because he knew that you would do what he wants you to do. Like, you were literally the pawn of them all. And the fact that this man is sitting here, you know, talking down to anyone is, like, I don't know. Someone has to check him. And, like, why? And I get it. He's going to lose, so it doesn't matter. No one's going to check him in the house. But someone needs to drag him. Like, please,
Twitter,
someone do
it. Ready. The other thing that was frustrating about this, like, this is all projection, I'm assuming.
Yes.
That, like, he's projecting his own, like, you know, hidden deep down a voice that he's not listening to, that is saying that he didn't do enough and he sat in the bedroom. And now he's like, well, I sat in the bedroom with Azza. So Azza sat in the bedroom the whole season. But, like, the fact that he's trying to say, like, oh, Azza, you were in trouble, and then I, like, basically offered myself up. Like, none of this even mattered, because the cookout was the cookout. And, like, if Azza was not in trouble, you know what I mean? Like, you did not, like, jump in front of the like, train to save Azza at any point. This was never a concern.
No, he was about Frenchie. He literally was like, this girl Azza, man, I don't know what she's doing. Don't think I forgot that either. So what have you done for Azza? Like, he was dragging her too when, and Azza actually had Brittany, right? Like, they were more of a twosome where Brittany and her were kind of trying to save each other versus this Derek F. Like, oh my God, it's just, it bothers me so much that he just, I know that's probably why he got cast, because he literally like is this delusional and it's funny, but I can't help but get actually angry. And I'm trying to, you know, see the humor in it, that he's getting the dodo at it and it's funny. But my, like, now I want Azza and him in the final, and I want him to get 0 votes. Like, you know, then all will be right in the world.
I'm worried about that.
I mean, he's just going to say odds. I knew the women. Yeah, would do this.
Mm-hmm. That's true. The women.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's 9-0,
those women, they really, they
manipulate. Yeah.
Just taking a quick break from our final BB23 Thursday night eviction of the season. Before we get back, we need to thank our sponsors. Our friends over at Noon Sport makes your water work harder. It's hydration you can feel. When you sweat, you lose vital electrolytes and minerals that your body needs in order to keep moving and recover efficiently. And Noon Sport is optimized for hydration and mineral replenishment before, during, and after a workout. Just drop a fizzy tablet in your water bottle to support your hydration anytime, anywhere. Noon Sport tablets are packed in the convenient, easy-to-grab tube, so you can take your optimized electrolytes on the go. Noon Sport is made with only 1 gram of sugar and carefully sourced premium ingredients that are certified non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. Noon Sport is available in 13 delicious flavors, including fan favorite cherry limeade, which has an extra boost of caffeine. So to get your game-changing hydration, visit noon.life/Rob. That's NUUN.life/Rob. Enter promo code Rob to get 25% off your order. And we will be back in just 30 seconds once we thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know, it's easy. Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Let's get back to talking some BB23. Yeah. Ugh. Well, let's take a look at the forecast for next week here. So we are going to have our 3-part HOH, which I guess is not going to begin until Sunday. Taryn, Julie told us that tomorrow night we're going to see the house guests get messages from their family. Does that speak to it not being a recap of the recap tomorrow night?
I don't think so. I think that if anything, it maybe speaks more to it, but they'll probably just include that as part of you know, they'll sit around a table, they'll get maybe messages at the end of the episode or maybe at the start of the episode. And it'll just, I imagine it will just be, and then they might start like an HOH competition at some point. But I think we're probably still getting a recap. I can't imagine what it would be if it wasn't.
I'm just wondering, could Sunday night be the recap of the recap? With part one of the HOH ending on or starting at the end of Sunday night's episode.
I don't think so, just because so the feeds have been down today all day for about 12 hours. And I think that's usually what happens when they film the recap. The feeds are down for the recap for a brief period of time. I think they recorded the eviction and then did the recap right after. And, you know, it took about 12 hours. And so that makes sense. They probably have all the clips ready to go. They just needed to film it in the house. And so they can have a turnaround in just one day. Air the recap, and then they have a lot more time to film the rest of the like post eviction, start of the HOH, like all that stuff that they couldn't have prepared for Sunday. That makes a lot more sense to me, but you never know.
We'll see how it goes. And by the way, a 2-hour finale coming up on Wednesday night. Jenny, I think this might be the longest finale in U.S. Big Brother history.
I'm tired, Rob. Like, they could, I mean, it's all been said already, but they could have ended this show at least a week ago. I don't understand why it needs to be this long. Yeah. They are dragging out the least compelling part of
the season. Tonight was pretty good.
well, tonight was good, but like we also still could have had that like 10 days ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's, I just think that you get down to this point and everything for the most part is determined by who wins what comp. We do not need to drag these things out like a normal week. We just don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm tired, Rob.
Yeah, I
Survivor's already started. We don't need an overlap. Like, why are they doing
this? Yeah, Sasha, on every other year that Big Brother ends the night that Survivor comes on, this is the first time that I can ever remember in the history of doing the podcast where that we're having this week where both shows are on at the same time.
And it's, again, like, Kylan leaving was so, okay, like, it was, like, drama. But besides that, it's just been heartbreak after heartbreak of, you know, Tiffany and Hannah leaving. And then now it's really who's going to beast out the comps, which, unfortunately, it might only be one person. And listen, I don't want to discredit Azza or DF, but, like, Xavier has the better chance, I'll say that. So, like, let's beat it up. I'd rather watch Survivor at this point, and I'm not Survivor casual, but still, at this point, we're done. It's over. Like, we know Big Brother producers don't really listen to us, but, like, just one time, mm-hmm. listen to us. Once, please.
Okay.
And also, I care about Taryn, and I want him to have to, like, not have to watch any more of this, okay? Like, let the man sleep. He's been doing these live feed updates at 8 a.m. his time. Like,
yeah.
Just he doesn't need to watch them.
They're turning off the feeds.
No, it's
for
not
him.
Right. It's not right. Big D gets to sleep all day, but Taryn still has to stay up and watch it.
What do you mean? Big D's working. No, Azza is the one, y'all. Apparently,
Taryn, could you help outline what the scenarios are going into this final three for potential winners?
I mean, basically, what we're looking at is, you know, part one, usually some kind of endurance. As long as Big D is the first one out of this competition, it will come down to Azza or Xavier. And then, you know, then Xavier, I would imagine, has a leg up. He has performed very well in these endurance competitions. You know, not like dramatically better than Azza, but he's thrown them, so it's hard to know. Mm-hmm. But I would expect that Xavier wins. Then we get to part two, where we should expect Azza to beat Big D in part two. It tends to be pretty physical. She should have a leg up in that case. It's not a guarantee there either, though. It could be, you know, one that happens to be less physical. And Big D has not been terrible at some of these. He has come in second in a lot of these endgame competitions. So as long as Azza beats Big D in part two, it will come down to that final part three, Azza versus Xavier. I don't see any of them budging at this time in terms of who they're taking to the end. Azza will take Big D, and so will Xavier. Azza has said to Big D, she's absolutely taking him. He's her best friend. She said to Xavier, I am not taking you. I am never taking you. She said to Big D, I know I lose to Xavier hands down. So at this time, it does not seem like she is going to flip. I do think she could be, despite what she said, I think she is susceptible to flipping. I mean, this is Azza we're talking about. She doesn't actually care that much about the win. So if he sells her the right story, I think there's a way in there. But what it looks like is one of them, Azza or Xavier, will win this game. If Azza wins and takes Big D, she cuts Xavier. I think she gets that jury vote. If Xavier gets there, I think he gets the jury vote. I can't see a scenario, a likely scenario where Big D takes the win, unless he somehow does come out with an HOH win in the final three, which is not very likely to begin with. Yeah. And then if he does, he's going to have to cut Xavier, because if he takes Xavier, it's over anyway.
Boy,
and he doesn't plan on doing that.
I do hope at the end of this thing that if they're going to have this 2-hour finale, like, let's not have the vote reveal an hour and 55 minutes into this, because I would love to, like, for the first time in Big Brother history, like, spend more than 5 seconds with the winner and the runner up just so we can hear Big D get his reaction.
I mean, that would be, look, Rob, a 2-hour finale, even on this season, if it was not a live final part three, right? Don't need it to be live. Don't care. Cut the feeds. I don't care. Cut them. Not live. non-live jury questions. Tape them earlier. Again, cut the feeds. I don't care. Give us non-live jury questions so that if Big D is sitting in the final two with Azza, they actually are able to ask Big D, hey, who would you have taken if you had won this final three HOH? Oh, Xavier. Absolutely, Rob, you're right. Give us the winner and then some discussion afterwards. Have Kylan and Xavier talk this out. Have Big D talk about why he got robbed. Like, there's so much here that should be on the table. And instead, what we're going to get is 2 hours of dragging out the competitions, dragging out the montages about what happened in the season, dragging out the jury questioning that is going to be too short anyway, dragging out the vote. And then, oh, we're going to talk to the pre-jurors and they're going to give us their opinions. And that's great. Look good for them. And then we're going to talk some more about some other. And then finally, with 2 minutes left, we're going to read the votes. And then thanks, guys, for joining us on such a lovely season. We'll see you next summer.
Celebrity.
That's true. They do a reunion for Survivor when like so much time has passed. Well, I mean, it's still a thing. And like, I just think that when these people have spent so much time with each other, but a lot of them haven't been able to face each other in a way to like talk some of this stuff out with the final two, even with the person who gets cut at final three, like they don't get to properly have a conversation. Whereas like on Survivor, these people have all texted after the show has ended. You know what I mean? Like give us an actual true, like authentic reunion where this is the first time that these people are actually able to have a full conversation. I just don't understand. I feel like it would be such gold, and I don't know why they don't monopolize on that.
They're probably going to monopolize the ex Kai conversation, right? There's at least.
Well, I don't think so. No. Because I think the problem is that they are too dedicated to it being a live finale, and they can't control a reunion in a live setting. How do you do that? Like, they can't guarantee that. Not only in the sense that like, oh, maybe it's wild. I'm sure they'd love it if it was wild. In the sense that like, what if it's not? What if it's boring? What if there's like very bad television because you're relying entirely on them to make your show? You can't do that on a live show. So the problem is that it has to be taped ahead of time, and they're just too dedicated to this live format that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But this cast is so good. Ugh, come on, people. Like, Tiffany is going to give us good, you know, like, sound bites. Yeah. Like, the reunion will be amazing. Just hearing Tiffany. Give her the hour.
All right. Let me just then, I know it seems hopeless, but let's just pray to God that our prayers are answered and we get the reunion that we want.
Giving the glory to God. Very nice. Thank you, Azza.
No problem.
There you go.
There was 0% chance she wasn't commenting on that.
Oh, please.
Like,
yep. Now in my real life, anytime I hear anybody mention any word associated with religion, I think, oh, Julie. Julie would like that.
Julie would be a big fan. Yeah. Did anyone else notice that I'm pretty sure that Julie is reusing her end of show material? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Love One Another is from her greatest hits at this point.
Right. Right. I mean, I think that she should be like taking the message from the episode, and tonight's message should have been, and remember, never talk about another man's family.
That actually, yeah. That is,
oh my God. Can you just imagine if Julie was any other religion, like how much drama it would be if that was brought in, like as someone that's Jewish, like I can't imagine if I said anything, like if I was like, happy Rosh Hashanah, everyone, like, oh, what? How dare you? So it's just, I find that actually at this point comical because she's taken it to such an extreme level that at this point I have to troll because I can't believe that this person just sits up there and says these things.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about Julie does the interviews with Entertainment Weekly every week, and we've been reading them on the slop. But those are a must read every single week. And she's very high on the very pious and holy Big D.
Well, I have no words. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I earlier in this podcast said that, you know, we are past the days of Chenbot, but I actually, you know, I'm going back and I actually think that this is just a different version. And
new
it's
programming.
Like, yeah, it's like a pull string doll. And there's like five or six religious phrases that are like programmed in here. And that's why we've cycled through them, and that's why we got Love One Another again tonight.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Julie is the teenager that just read a book that blew her mind. Mm-hmm. Like, right? Like, she just can't
literally
stop talking about
she
it.
She literally read a book.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, it is genuinely.
Yeah.
It's like just overly, and look, great for her that she's found something, but she just, every conceivable moment needs to bring it up and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, again, I understand why people find religion in times of despair and in times of loss. And I totally understand it. I just can very much tell that it makes people uncomfortable. And I just don't think that is the place for it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wild thing. I don't know.
I don't want this to come across as an anti-religion take. That, you know, if it's working for you, it's all well and good. It just seems like on the same show where we see, men sniffing tortillas and slime, and this is not the holiest of shows. It's a weird marriage. I mean, of the things.
Well, and it's just that the show is supposed to be, the whole premise of the show from the beginning was about bringing people from different walks of life and, you know, them coexisting and like, you know, what happens when you put all of these people from different backgrounds in a house. And I just think that, you know, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, religion is a part of people's lives. And I just don't necessarily think that the host of the show should be making, you know, the baseline part of the show, which is the hosting, a religious experience when there are people in the house that you have no idea what their spiritual affiliation might be. And I think we've seen that being that line being towed in interviews and stuff like that, and inferring other people's religious affiliation in the house. And I just I just think that it doesn't line up with the spirit of the show.
Oh, I love that.
That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And I also I'm Jewish and I used to work for Jewish nonprofits like my whole life. So it's not that religion is important even to me, but I don't think that it's fair that we're, you know, basing things off of like religion and being a good person on this show. It would be so different if she was maybe on, you know, was she on The View, right? Or whatever. You know, maybe there, but when you're you're putting on a persona, you're playing a game. So why do we need religion? And again, like I said, if you brought in any other religion that wasn't the major religion, it would be a problem for people. I think that's where at least I feel like I'm coming from.
All right, let's take some questions from the audience here tonight. I got a couple of questions. How about this one from Paula? Did anyone else think that there would have been a fist fight tonight? I mean, if Julie Chen-Moonves doesn't call over the loudspeaker, Taryn, how does this end?
I don't think it's a fist fight. I don't think that I think that the way that X handled it was very he very calmly was just like, no, I don't see him like swinging. Yeah. Okay. I don't think he is that guy.
Does Xavier then ultimately make like the bartender and eventually just like open the door and then push Kyland out the door and then close the door to the house?
I think Xavier probably is just going to stand there and let people deal with like Kyland. I think he knows as a bartender, he knows how to handle, you know, these kinds of situations. So I think X should be commended on how calm he was here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have come to blows at all.
Okay. All right.
I think, well, X has also been very focused on you know, the end goal, which is winning the game. I don't think that he's going to compromise anything in this situation, even if, you know, personal X wants to take a swing at Kai in that moment. He's so close. Like, don't mess with anything at this moment, because you never know what could happen. You don't know what the consequences of that action is.
All right, let's take in this question from Faith. I love that you said Faith. This was the most dramatic blindside in a long time. When was the last proper blindside? Actually, could I start here of, is this the best Final Four eviction since Danielle Murphy?
I mean, she wasn't actually the person evicted there, but
Shane got it. It was Shane.
Her open, the Pikachu face that Sasha and I had tonight.
Right. I mean,
it's honestly tough. It's tough for me. I feel like I'm still too close to it to really judge it properly. Like, I was enjoying it up until it really crossed that line, and then it just felt so gross that it's like, can I call it good? I mean, I enjoyed the Shane blindside because it stayed, like, Shane was so butthurt about it. But he was like, that Dan just stole $500,000 from me. I can laugh at that. I couldn't really laugh at this one. But we'll see. I mean, it was definitely the most dramatic since then, I think.
Yeah. And I think memorable. Like, mm-hmm. I think I will remember how I felt, how uncomfortable it was, and how surprised that I was that it went there. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a good tip, right, for future house guests, like, be a mess and be ratchet, but then, like, don't take it across the line, because then you can't enjoy it anymore. Like, don't do that.
Okay. Kia, or KIA, does Azza win if she evicts X? Taryn, is Azza the winner of the season if she goes up against Big D?
I think so. And for what it's worth as well, Azza, for as much as, you know, Julie commented on it, I had a great speech. I mean, like, she was very composed, giving her speech.
Wore
to Big
the yellow
D.
dress.
She wore the
Alyssa
yellow
didn't
dress.
Ruin it.
Amazing.
Yes. I mean, if Azza has just evicted Xavier and is standing in those final two chairs addressing the jury with that level of composure, and she's next to Big D, I can't see it going any other way.
Okay. I mean,
this is what everyone's been asking for, is like, mm-hmm. why are you not getting out X? So if you are the person that finally does that, like, how are you not going to reward that person when that's what you've been saying people need to do the entire time?
Mm-hmm. Boy, what a turnaround it would be for Azza. It was all one week ago, we thought that she blew it. I called her a loser.
You did. I mean, Rob, that is the criteria for winning the game as an underdog. Mm-hmm. So you need to be called a loser by Rob.
Yep.
True.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe you were doing her favor with that.
Yeah.
So you lit a fire, you know.
I lit a fire.
Telepathically.
Yeah.
I lit a fire. And so we'll see if she can do it.
If she cuts X, I think she deserves it. Like, I don't want to hear Azza slander if she cuts X finally.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be such a delicious turnaround for these three guys that talked such a big game and took Tiffany and Hannah out of the house. And then, oh, we're the three guys. We did everything. And then, you know, idiot number one wanted to go to the end with Xavier. Xavier cut him. Then Xavier said, I'm going to the end with the two jokers. And then if one of the jokers who told him she wasn't going to take him cuts him. And then the third joker is like, ha ha ha, I'm going to win. I'm up against Azza in the final too. And he loses. That's like three delicious things in a row to happen to these guys.
Yeah. I mean, all three of them have been very disparaging about Azza's game in terms of, and like to her face, like Kylan has said bad things about Azza's game. Just in this episode, he was talking about like, we are not the same, Big D, me and Azza. Like, no, a Big D to her face, disparaged her game. Even Xavier earlier in the season when she was like, Xavier, have I done nothing to get here? He was like, I wouldn't put it that way. Basically told her to her face that he doesn't think she's contributed anything. So to have her beat all three of them from the final four to the final two and win the game, it would be entertaining in that way for sure.
Okay. Let's see. How about Alex Graves says, in all the craziness tonight, that was a fact that D said the words, I cast my vote to evict. Did production give him a paper to read from? I'm not sure. Did he practice this all week, Taryn?
He did a little bit, and he talked to Azza about it. He was saying, I will cast to a vote. And she's like, cast to a vote. That's funny. Like when Dina Lohan said, I evict to a vote. He's like, oh, no, that's what I say every time. Like, oh. I say I vote to evict. He's like, oh yeah, that one. I say that one too.
Yeah.
So
I get there eventually. So
yeah, he got there.
Okay. Anything else about Big Brother tonight? It was a historic night.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been a wild 24 hours of reality TV for sure.
Yeah. Hold on. There was one more thing I wanted to say.
Shut the f*** up, Kylan.
Yes. Never more appropriate than tonight.
Retweet.
Yes. All right.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about what's coming up. And then it seems like we've got one more Puya Friday to go.
We do.
Could there be a light one, right?
Could be a light one. I don't know that we'll even have a first part one HOH results at this point. So they might play tonight. They might not. I'm not sure. We'll tune in tomorrow. We may have a part one result, which could spell the whole thing. Because again, I talked about if Big D is the first one out, if Azza is the first one out of the endurance competition by some fluke or whatever. All Xavier needs to do is throw to Big D and then beat Azza in part two, and it's a done deal. Xavier has won the game. So, and if I were Xavier, again, we talk about this all the time when it comes to these scenarios. If I'm Xavier, I'd much rather compete against Azza in part two than part three. He has a much bigger advantage there. But we'll see.
Okay. That's going to be Friday morning, and then Friday night. Okay, we're bringing out the recap of the recap lineup for Friday night. Hopefully we pick the right night. Tara and I will be back with Liana and Chappelle this Friday night. We'll see.
We'll see.
I think it's 50-50.
I think we're good. I think we're going to be recapping the recap.
Okay. It'll be fun no matter what.
I feel like we've gotten it on Sundays in the past also.
It's possible.
Yeah. All right. So this Friday, Tara and I will be back for one more BBQ&A, the season finale of the BBQ&A coming up on Friday. Tara and I will be live 2 p.m. Eastern to take your calls, of course, for the patrons of Rob's Podcast. And then this Tuesday, special night, special time, 6 p.m. on Tuesday, Jenny Autumn will be with me for the season finale of The Slop.
We're bookending again?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. We'll do it. Tuesday, 6 p.m. You've got Slop for us to cover. Finale week Slop. Go to robiswebsite.com/getsloppy. Jenny, very much looking forward to getting pumped back together on The Slop.
Absolutely excited.
Last night.
What a birthday treat for me.
Yes. Big birthday week. Stephen Fishback was back last night for the premiere of Survivor Know-It-Alls for Survivor 41. Had a lot of fun having Stephen back on the podcast this week. Check that podcast out and, of course, watch it on YouTube. And then this morning, I had a double exit interview. Two people went home in the Survivor premiere. I talked to both of them in our first Survivor 41 exit interview special. Check that out in our main podcast feed and our Survivor podcast feed. Earlier today, I spoke with the great Karishma Patel, and we had a great conversation about the season premiere of Survivor. Going to get that out sometime later on tonight. Make sure you're subscribed at robiswebsite.com/subscribe to not miss any of that. Over the weekend, the Rob's Podcast feedback show. Chappelle will join me to answer feedback questions. Send them our way. robiswebsite.com/survivorquestions or robiswebsite.com/voicemail for that. And then the Survivor Q&A is coming up Monday night. We will be live at 7 p.m. Amon Adwin will join me to talk Survivor 41 questions with the patrons of Rob is a Podcast. Of course, robiswebsite.com/patron for the information for that one. Taryn, how did the first episode of the Survivor Stockwatch go?
It went great, actually. I was very, very happy with it. Asia was great as always. We got a lot of people that came out. They enjoyed it. I was hoping it would work out. You know, we'd never done the Stockwatch with Survivor before, but we ran through those ratings. It didn't take too long there. And, it's taking a fine tooth comb to this episode and really poring over it with as much detail as possible and trying to point out all the things that you may miss on the first watch. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully people check it out.
Okay. Of course, Rick Devins is going to join YX Lost this week. So check out what David and Jessica have to say about why the first two people lost Survivor. Over on the RHAP B&B, Mike and Liana are playing some games with Kirsten McInnes and Maggie Morgan, who was very funny on the recap last night. Taryn, I watched the... All right, I didn't watch the episode, but I listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think I missed anything.
No, I don't think so either. But what did you think of the podcast?
It was very fun. Yeah. Poor Maggie was being tortured, but it was a fun episode of the podcast. It'll be a fun episode of the B&B this weekend with the Temptation Island wrap-up host joining Mike and Liana. Then, of course, Shannon Gus is going to be back with the Survivor Global's first look at the Survivor 41 premiere. Check out what the world's biggest Survivor fan, Shannon Gus, has to say about the Survivor 41 premiere with the great Dino Paolo. We're joining Shannon this week. Okay, Sasha, what's coming up over on Love & Hip Hop Atlanta?
Yeah, I cover Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, where this week I was joined with Isaiah, where we talked about episode 11 and 12. Honestly, we just talked a lot about why people keep having babies with men that cheat on them. So if you love mess, you know, if you love wondering why, you know, these rappers keep having multiple children and then cheating, you know, this is a show for you, everyone. Mm-hmm. Watch it.
Did you get to those answers?
You know, I don't think we ever will. It's been 10 seasons and I still don't know why we keep doing this and why they keep having more children. Why?
Okay. All right. Check that out in our reality TV wrap-ups feed. Taryn, The Circle is back this week with more episodes. Have you watched those episodes yet, Taryn?
I have not. Too much to busy with Survivor and Big Brother at the time.
There's too much. Okay. Weekend that Taryn is going to take over the Circle Roundtable this Saturday. And Taryn, what do you got in store?
You can see all the balloons in that photo. Jacob Jones isn't going to be there, so we can't go to the club, but we're going to throw a party. We're going to throw one of those solo parties that Sasha's a big fan of.
Right. Join Taryn, Asia, Mari, and Mike Bloom to talk some Circle this weekend. Do you know the time on that? What is that going to be? 5 p.m. Eastern?
Same time, I think. Yeah, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, of course, so much going on in our patron feed. I always like to tell people, if you're going to become a patron, it's at the end of September. The way that Patreon works is that if you jump in later on the month, they're still going to charge you for October. So I'm going to try to keep I'll be posting a lot of the patron stuff in the main feed here at the start of the Survivor season if you want to hold out till October. Or, of course, you could do an annual membership, but we are going to be doing a lot of shows. Our Survivor 41 Q&A, Patron 5 for 5. We'll also be doing some early access to some of the Survivor podcasts in the Patron podcast feed. It's just one of the benefits you get when you become a part of our Patron community on Facebook, on Discord, Survivor, Big Brother, reality TV fans from all around the world talking about our favorite shows over at robisthewebsite.com/patron. Then, of course, this Saturday, new patrons. I like to do an orientation every month, tell you about how to access all your patron benefits. We do some Q&A, some meet and greet. I call it new patron orientation. That's going to be at 6 p.m. on Saturday. I will send out a Zoom link on Patreon for that. It's not only for the brand new patrons. If you want to join us, you're welcome to hit the subscribe button. If you're watching us on YouTube, it's about time. It's almost the end of the season. Come on, people. Robiswebsite.com/subscribe to subscribe to our podcast feeds. And of course, follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on my favorite TikTok at Rob is a podcast. All right. Boy, so much stuff going on right now. Sasha, what's next for you?
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop just came out. I'm not entirely sure. I think we have 4 more episodes, so 2 more Love and Hip Hops will be dropping. And you can follow me on Twitter at funsize_04 to know more. And, college football's up, so honestly, I'm just stressed about that. And Chappelle and I cover Never Have I Ever over on Silent Podcast. You know, we've taken a little break, like he said, but we'll be back next week with the finale of the season 1. It's just such a great time. So go listen to that as well.
Okay. Well, Sasha, anytime you're with us is a great time. Thank you for being with us here tonight to talk about this.
My favorite.
You brought the mess to Big Brother tonight, so that was fantastic. Great job, Sasha. Jenny.
Thank you.
I know we got to have so much fun tonight. We'll talk to you this weekend on Renap, The Slop. What did I do right this week?
I don't know. Did you do something right? Is this good?
Happy with
this?
Yeah, very happy.
Okay.
Very happy.
I'm happy. So I'm looking forward to it. We're going to record Renap this weekend. And Slop on Tuesday. So it's a packed couple of days of doing a little bit of everything. And I am sometimes streaming twitch.tv/JennyAutumn. I'm usually doing the Among Us on Sundays. I will not be there this weekend because it's my birthday. And
happy early birthday to Jenny Autumn.
Happy birthday.
As much as I love playing Among Us, fall is my favorite season. Mm-hmm. I want to go outside and breathe the air and touch a tree or something.
You don't want to be killed and lied to for on your birthday?
I get enough of that in my daily life. Yeah. Don't need it on my birthday. If you want to follow me on Twitter and other social media at Jenny Autumn. And it's a great time of year. Sports is awesome right now. Jays are making a push for the playoffs. Yeah. Hockey's going to be back soon. We've got a fantasy football league that we put together with some RHAP people. That's really fun. I love trash talking with everyone. It's just a great time of year. I'm very happy. Survivor's back. I'm loving Survivor. Rooting for my Toronto girl, Erica. I'm just happy.
Oh, that's fantastic
news.
What
a great time.
Okay. Well,
thanks for having me tonight, Rob.
Oh, you anytime, Jenny. great, great stuff. We'll see you over the weekend. And Taryn, what's next for you?
The live feed update tomorrow morning, followed by the Q&A. I imagine we're going to get the Kyland.
Yes, I forgot to mention. We sent some good questions for Kyland.
We did have some good questions for Kyland. You know, these exit interviews have been kind of like, but hopefully this is going to be a good one. So make sure you tune in for that. Mm-hmm. And then
if anybody's going to have an unhinged exit interview, it's going to be Kyland.
Exactly. He might call us cowards. I'm not sure.
He might answer one question. We run out of time.
This is very true. He might be. Yeah. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow. But you can of course also find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I was watching the episode live. I had quite the amount of reactions to it that I've already seen. of myself already. You can find the Survivor podcast that I did today here on RHAP. Please go and give it a try. If you like my Big Brother coverage, if you're interested in Survivor, you haven't checked it out before, check it out. It's a lot of fun. I try to bring the same level of like obsessiveness to it. So check that stuff out. And then again, The Circle and Twitter at Armstrong Taren, all the good stuff.
Okay. All right. Great job, everybody. This might have been our biggest live audience of the year for the Big Brother podcast. So thank you all so much for joining us tonight and staying with us all season long. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for tonight's podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.